Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now, flying solo for today is our hostess, Jen.
Hello and welcome to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. I am Jen Halterman, flying solo today. Yay! Other than with you. Thank you for being here. I am so touched by everybody who chooses to join in the shows, whether you're listening in the future from now to a recording or the archive. I really appreciate you and your energetic and contribution to the show as well. To those who are able to listen live or nearer to this time, I am excited about your interactions as well. I really appreciate how this show has its own style of community, and some of you interact through Facebook messages, and if you are not following me on Facebook yet, you can send me messages there directly, and so you may want to do that, and it is facebook.com/Jen Halterman now. And you can find out more on my website as well at jenhalterman.me. But this show, it's really interesting. Last week we talked about essence, many different aspects of essence, some of the struggles that have gone on, some of the different awarenesses. There was lots of tenderness. There was some profound clearing. There were a lot of things that came up around the topic of essence. And I happen to be, you know, that's kind of my niche, if you can imagine that. I have been doing essence work for people since I was born, quite honestly, because it is one of my gifts and abilities is to recognize when somebody is in their essence. And what that means to me is when somebody is expressing through their humanity, through their human experience, their divinity, whatever that is. And to be able to recognize the difference and go, wow, they're really in their essence. What they're saying is so authentically true for them. It doesn't even matter to me. It doesn't even like blip my radar if that truth resonates with my truth. It is just that I am in awe and appreciation of their divinity. And so that's always been something that I have been capable of, but also that I've chosen into. And so when it came time to do my own work, and I started doing some spiritual work outside the realm of religion, what started to unfold was these gifts and abilities that I have, you know, there's names for it. people will say psychic, or people say spiritual intuitive, or people say, just gifted in some way. And none of that mattered to me. All I knew was that I've been doing this my whole life. It's very natural. And so I have years and years of experience working with people and friends and conversations because I'm always interested in essence, always. Even if somebody is like, no, I don't do any inner work, I don't do any therapy, there is nothing about it, I just want to get through this life, their essence is still a part of that. It's a part of that, I don't want to have anything to do with my essence. It's still a part of it, and so it comes through. And so as I come to this show this morning, I was like, wow, I was talking to Sherry. I said, wow, this show is really not a fight, but a resistance and a struggle. And so I pushed away from my computer. I sat back. I went into a little bit of asking and receiving from the universe as to what is this that I'm experiencing, and what kept coming up was struggle, struggle, struggle. And it didn't feel right. I was struggling with, I mean, kind of quote struggling with the show, but what was coming through was the struggle that people have with their essence and embracing it. You know, when on the show, I think it was number 74, that I talked about our essence and how scared it is and why it doesn't trust us. That kind of peeled back some layers. But then as the conversations went on through the week, I started to experience some other struggles that people were having. And boy, there's so much more than can be explained in 1 hour show about an essence. And so I'm thankful that I have this show platform to do hour after hour of unfolding and peeling back the layers of essence, because that's what this is about. I understand the struggle of really being in resistance to your essence. I understand that fear. I understand the vulnerability. I understand all of that. And there's a reason that that's what people experience. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. What is that struggle about, and why is it even there? If it's our essence, shouldn't it be so easy to experience? Yes and no. So here's where I want to start with you. I want to invite you to really check in and make sure that you're in a gentle space with yourself, that you are willing to receive the message that comes from spirit or soul for this conversation, because as it unfolds, I'm not quite sure exactly where it's going today. We're just going to talk about the layers that unfold. And so please be gentle with yourself and do your best to stay out of judgment. And the way that you can do that is if you notice you have a judgment or a conclusion that comes up, just simply say, okay, I'm aware I have that judgment. It's an interesting point of view. I'm still listening. And just see what unfolds. That's my invitation for you. Okay, so where to start, right? Let me explain it this way. Your essence and your soul, the qualities, the gifts, and abilities that have come through you into this human experience are always there. Always. Now, as we talked about in show 74, and that we don't feel safe, we don't feel, you know, the essence doesn't feel safe, it doesn't really trust us. Life gives us experiences that kind of tell us that we're not safe. It kind of starts to tell us, oh, I'm going to get made fun of, you know, I'm not as good at this as somebody else, all of those things. And the way that I refer to that in my coaching with clients when we get into really doing some intensive work is we start looking at that filter that was created. So if you can imagine a pair of glasses that are how you see the world and how this world sees you, just think about it. Think of somebody who wears glasses. You've never seen them without their glasses. Think of that person. They don't see you without their glasses, and you can't imagine them without their glasses. And that is a very, I mean, elementary example of what I'm referring to when I say a filter. The filter that gets programmed, the filter that comes in from all of our experiences of life, all the things we were trained were safe and we're not safe and we're acceptable, that come in from our family, from society, from our community, our education, all of those things start filling in this particular filter that is yours. Now, I would like to say that your filter is as unique as you are. And the reason that I point that out is some people will say, well, you know, I was raised Catholic, so we have the Catholic filter. And that's partially true. Okay, you have that reference point. But that does not mean that you see Catholicism the same way as your neighbor. It just does not mean that. And so I would really like you to consider this conversation as an individual. Do your best not to compare or assume anything about anybody else in your life, okay? Because what happens in this training of our filter, that bubble of how we see the world and how the world perceives us and judges us and all the conclusions that come from it is kind of the training ground for our egos. It's where ego gets trained, and our ego is just simply the safeguard. It is totally there, designed to keep you safe. It wants to keep you from being judged. It wants to keep you from being uncomfortable. It wants to keep you from harm. It wants to keep you intact in society. It is really a great messenger in your life. It's just that it's been programmed according to certain things that you were raised with and conditioned with. And so if we're not aware of that, If we are not aware of that, what can happen is when you start to embrace your essence and you try to take off your glasses or your filter that you've been seeing the world through, and you're like, okay, I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to, you know, uncover my essence. It's going to be great. You actually have a trained guardian of your safety, of that filter in place. It's your ego. Can you see that? And some people will tell you to destroy your ego. Quite honestly, I've heard so many teachings from people that I love and adore that talk about don't give your ego any power, don't do any of this. And I have a different point of view because your ego is part of your human experience. And so just according to Jen Halterman, where I teach from is not to destroy or ignore your ego. Instead, let's reassign it. Give it another job. I think that I said it on a show last week. It's like a border collie that it has to have a job, and it's not going to go away. I mean, being free from your ego is like saying you're not human anymore. So let's just, okay, reassign the ego, okay? And so that's what I do when I'm working with a client is teach this. But in this situation where I'm just talking about that, what I've heard, the stories, the messages, the conversations that I have had with you, the listeners, and with clients over the years is that as soon as you start to consider that you are going to embrace your essence, you're going to be vulnerable, you're going to start honoring yourself more and more, the struggle arises with the ego. And so it's time that we talk about the ego, okay? Because your ego just has some jobs. You know, it wants you to think that you are what you do and you are what you have and you have to strive and you've got to perfect and you've got to get approval and your reputation matters. It really wants you to believe in scarcity so that you compete with others and you're always comparing yourself to others according to time and attention and what they have and what they do and if they're giving you enough attention, all those things. Your ego also wants you to think that you are disconnected from your higher power, source, God, whatever that is. And so your ego has a lot of things in place that all have to do with keeping that filter in place. Because it, say the filter is, according to your upbringing, let's see, which one wants to rise up? Okay, the filter of body image. You got to look a certain way. You got to be a certain body type. Okay, you've got to go with the current fashions, whatever that is. Why? What do you have to gain from that? What do you have to gain? If you play that game and the filter is, you know, you've got to follow fashion. You've got to be a certain size to be acceptable. What is there to gain from playing that? Well, it tells you you're fitting in. It says you have a, you know, that you have the style, you have the body. Your reputation's intact, okay? All those things start kicking in, and the ego says, yep, okay, you're good. But if you don't, if you are not, the flip side is true, okay? So here's the devil's advocate in me. I'm going to talk about this other side. So here's body image. And you say, look, I know I'm overweight. What does the ego say? The ego goes into keeping you safe. And it can go internally to you and really be your biggest bully. You should be losing weight. Look at you. You're such a loser. You can't lose weight. You're never going to be as thin as your sisters. You're never going to be like your brother. You can't. You don't have the muscle mass. You're a loser. You're not athletic. You're more of a brainiac than athletic. You ought to stop. You ought to give up. Okay? Why? It wants you to keep you safe. It wants you to keep you safe from judgment from others. So it's giving you the judgments first off so you armor up, so you're not vulnerable, so you keep your shields up. The other thing is it can go completely the other way and be like, hey, world, I love me the way I am and screw you. And it can come off as really an outward projection of that forcing of I'm going to fit in and you're going to accept me. And so the ego plays all of these games in a split second. it happens so quickly because our filter has been trained and programmed, and it knows exactly what to do to keep you safe. Your essence has a totally different perspective of the world. Your divinity, if you'll listen, hey, you know, hey, essence, what would my body like today? What would serve my body today? And if it guides you, it can guide you everything from go out and jog to lay down and rest. You need some rest because that's not what's based on. It's not based on body image. It's not based on all those things. It will guide you to the highest experience of life that is of service to you in your life and living. But the ego can create such a struggle in that experience for you if you allow it. So as I get into this, you know, I was speaking with somebody recently who was talking about how all this essence stuff is great, but the emotions are really uncomfortable and that they didn't like that they were crying more than they were comfortable with and that they judged it. It wasn't okay to cry. It was weak to cry. You got made fun of as a kid when you cried, all these things. And so that topic came up, and so it's one of those things I want to talk about, because if you can imagine going out and going for maybe a, let's use physical, your physical body as an example. All right, you're going to go out and work out. And you go out and you go for a run. And you run and you feel great and you're just flowing and it's amazing. And you're looking at the beauty that surrounds you, and you stub your toe, and it's a big ouch, and then you get up, and you keep going. Now, all of this is going on, and it's all during this process of physical activity. Now, here's what I would like to tell you, okay? Don't sweat. As you're running, as you are enjoying the run, don't sweat. As you hate the run, don't sweat. But you have to keep running, and you have to keep having that experience of that physical exertion. But I want you to not sweat. Now think about that for a minute. How are you going to go about not sweating? Mm-hmm. Unless you have an actual physical condition that keeps you from sweating, you're going to sweat. Why? Because sweat is the response to the activity that you are doing. That is the same thing as emotions. Emotions are the response of what it is that you are experiencing in your life. Whether it is happiness or sadness, fear, it doesn't matter what it is. Emotions are a natural experience to life. They're just a response to what's going on in your life. So when you consider that they have been judged, that you've been made fun of, they've been put down, you've been told you cry too much, you've been told you laugh too loud, you've been told all the things that come in about emotional response. Your invitation, your opportunity is, are you going to keep that, all those judgments as part of the filter of how you see the world? Or are you going to reclaim and reassign how you see emotions? Reassign your ego, because if your ego thinks that it's not safe to cry, it's going to tell you to stop crying. It's going to make you hide and resist and hold them back and all of that. And if your ego thinks that you're going to be shamed for laughing too loud, then when something's funny, if you do laugh too loud, your ego will be who judges you first before anybody else could. If your ego thinks it's a weakness to be scared, then you will hide your fear and hold it back. And I'm here to tell you that your emotions are to be expressed. And so if you're holding them back and trying to contain them, they come out anyway. Emotions are like the big beach ball, the one you can barely wrap your arms around. You know, okay, so imagine a beach ball. You barely wrap your arms around it. Now jump in a pool. What happens to the ball? Poop! There it goes. Okay? But you've got to hold that that ball that's representing your emotions, you got to hold that under the water. You got to keep it under the surface. You can't let people see your beach ball. That would be embarrassing. That's shameful. That's wrong, according to the ego. So you chase after the ball, you get your arms around it, and then you try to hold it under. I am not going to let you see that I have emotions underneath the surface. And what happens? When you least expect it, or when you get knocked off of your stability, that ball goes shooting out sideways. And it can harm somebody, I'm just saying. Okay? So if that's your emotions, if that's how your emotions are playing out, understand that you're really not controlling them. You are just putting them under pressure so that they are forced to have some kind of outburst to get free. Okay? And they will find their way out. And what that can look like is you hold back tears when your spouse ignores you. You hold back tears when your coworkers make fun of you and are mocking you. You hold back tears when you see an injured animal on the side of the road because it's not right. You can't cry. And that's the belief that you're living according to. And so what happens is the pressure builds up. And then a child spills water on the floor. And all of the emotions that were not expressed come raging out at the child or the dog or whatever it is that happens to be there when it bursts. And then what? And then you're dealing with that situation. Now, most of us, if we are not consciously aware of what's going on, after an outburst like that, we'll go into blame or justification so that we don't have to feel the discomfort of the emotions that don't make sense. And here's what my invitation to you is. Back it up. When you feel sad because your spouse ignores you, express that you feel sad, that you feel disconnect, that you want connection. Address it. When coworkers are being asshats and they're cruel and making fun and mocking, address it. Stand up for yourself. Have boundaries. When you see an animal hurt on the side of the road and you feel sad and you have compassion, let the tears fall. Do what you need to do to address it. Because then, when a child spills water, or a dog tracks mud through the house, you're only dealing with the child or the spill or the mud. You're not turning on the fire hose of all the emotions that are backed up at the innocence in front of you. This is why emotional awareness is one of the first things that I teach clients. Because when we are in that space, and when we have this opportunity ahead of us, in front of us, before us, okay, to have the experience, the engagement, and we say, hey, ego, I know that we got made fun of in elementary school. I know my dad thought the crying was for sissies. I know that I got made fun of on the ball court when, you know, I stumbled and fell. I know all that, but you know what? Right now I'm going to let myself have my emotions. Your ego, you're the boss, really, even though it likes to take the reins. Just put it in its place. Hey, you, go sit down for a minute. I'm choosing to feel this emotion. I'm choosing to express myself. I'm choosing my essence right now, so just deal with it because this is what's going to happen. Because your essence is naturally, it's instinctively, it's divine. Your essence says, ouch, that hurt. I think I'm going to cry for a second. Oh, I feel like I've been violated. My boundaries have been violated. I'm going to stand up for myself. I am going to be honorable. Wow, I feel disconnection. I'm going to request what needs to happen so we can be connected again. Your essence isn't afraid of those because your essence longs for the most honorable expression of divinity for yourself and everyone. And that's where that comes in. And so when the struggle with your essence comes up, the first place, and I've always heard it as the first place, it has to do with your relationship with emotional awareness and your willingness to express. You see, a lot of people don't know that expressing your emotions has nothing to do with anybody else. Because a lot of us were trained and we were under the influence and we were modeled for us that emotions are weapons and emotions are manipulation and emotions are what you do at somebody. And quite often, that's what we're basing our awareness on. But actually, your emotions are just an expression of what you're feeling. That's all. There's a study, and I didn't gather it. I told you, I'm kind of winging this show, letting it what wants to talk about come through. And one of the things in my coaching training was that there's a study that Gay Hendricks is the one who refers to it. So you can reference the Hendricks Institute if you want more information. But that they did a study, and emotion itself, without anything else added to it, okay, just emotion, if you allow the emotion to come through you, has a lifespan of 7 seconds to 20 minutes. And if you do not add story or drama or adrenaline or lies to it, that the emotion itself will actually express fully within 20 minutes. Now, I've got to tell you that, quite honestly, I experience this in my training with clients, you know, my own inner work, on and on. But I will tell you this, when I was in the bottom of the barrel of the grief, this still rang true. And let me tell you how. When I would have those times when it was just an overwhelming flood of grief, if I allowed that grief to express, it would express, and it did profoundly. I mean, you know, yeah, snot and salt all over my face. And, you know, I mean, just it, no holding back, okay? And if I didn't go into story and I didn't go into, oh, my gosh, this is so horrible and I'm never going to watch Sage grow up and, you know, Kelsey, she was right. She knew she'd die young. And how am I ever going to, you know, get over that? If I didn't go to those places, those emotions, that crying, the pain, the excruciating pain would run its course in less than 20 minutes. However, if it was one of those days when maybe, you know, the thought of my grandson was more than I could bear, and I was in that space of, you're kidding me, he's my grandson. I didn't even get to hold him while he was alive. Like, how unfair this is, and other people having grandbabies, and, you know, they get to hold him and spoil him, and I don't get that. And how am I ever going to trust? How am I ever going to trust life again? And if I went down that path, boy, that crying fit and that sobbing and that grief could go on for hours, hours and days on end. But that isn't the emotion anymore. That's the stories I put on the emotion. The stories we put on the emotion are what keep it going and going and going and going. So let me just say this to those of you who might have this wonder come up, because I've had a number of questions, some people who are very brave, and thank you for reaching out, who are experiencing panic disorder and depression, okay? What about that? What about that? My essence, you know, how do I get to my essence from this dark place? And one of the most common things that I hear is, if I allow myself to feel scared and I don't take that pill to stop the panic, then I lose control to the panic. And also what I heard was, if I let myself feel sad, the depression will take over, and I'll be in bed for, you know, weeks, months on end, okay? And here's what I want to say. If you are under professional care don't stop doing that. Get professional help. What I am talking about is emotional expression, and yes, you can do emotional expression, but if you are using medication and things to help you with the current situation, I don't want you to override that. Okay, I want to be very clear on that. I want you to stay in whatever it is that you're doing and get help. If you want to get off the medications, you need to do that with supervision from a professional, okay? So I do want to address that. Now, while you're in that situation, you can practice feeling your emotions. You can practice expressing them, okay? You can. And notice when you feel like the panic takes over, or notice when you feel the depression take over, or notice when you feel the mania take over, what story starts playing in your head? What stories do you start telling? And are they lies? Are they adrenaline-based? Because here's the other part of the ego. The ego is always adrenaline-based. Always. Okay? So that's how, one of the ways you can tell the difference. Oh my gosh, you know, my spouse leaves their laundry all over the floor. Adrenaline comes up. Why? Because we make the story up that they're doing it to spite you, or they think that you're their parent, or they don't have any respect for you, or they're just so damn lazy. And that feeds adrenaline into it instead of, I am really not appreciating and I'm not enjoying this habit that's going on. I wonder what conversation can take place so that we can both live in an environment that we love. You can feel frustrated. You can feel like, oh, I'm tired of this. And what you do with it is up to you. One of the biggest things that your essence will do is go back to curiosity. Your essence will go, I wonder what this is about. I wonder why this keeps happening. I have actually, it's a friend who was telling me that she had this fight with her ex-husband over and over and over about, if you don't put your clothes in the hamper, I'm not doing your laundry. If you don't put your clothes in the hamper, I'm not doing the laundry. And she talks about this as a fight that went on for years, their whole marriage, okay? And then something changed, and this they got divorced, and anyway, so the new spouse to this guy had a totally different approach. It wasn't, if you don't put your clothes in the hamper, I'm not going to do your laundry. Instead, it was, if you would like your clothes to be washed, they have to be in the hamper. Those are that's the laundry I'm going to do. And how it changed the perspective. But you see, when we're in that space of adrenaline, and if you don't do this, I'm not going to do that. That's adrenaline-based, and that's ego, and the ego just wants to be right. And so the ego wants to be right about whatever story we've made up, that they're disrespectful or they're lazy or whatever it is. It just wants to be right. That's all. And it doesn't want to be curious. It just wants the other people to agree with them. So if part of the struggle that you're having, we talked about emotions, but the next thing is, a part of that struggle you're having is you go to jump to conclusions, you jump to story about what's going on as to what's happening. That is just your ego taking off with whatever the situation is. So you have another option. Start noticing the stories you're making up, the conclusions you go to, the judgments you're taking about the situation that you're making up. Notice that they are from your perspective. And if your perspective is that all people who drink alcohol are alcoholics because that was programmed in your childhood, then understand that there are some opportunities that have nothing to do with alcoholism that you are cutting out of your life because you judge somebody because they drink alcohol. Stories and lies that the ego keeps in place that stops us from being in our essence, it disconnects us from the curiosity and the wonder and the experience of life with other people. That's one of the places you can address that is sabotaging your connection with embracing your essence. There are so many different perspectives we can have about this situation with your essence. And one of the things that I used to teach essence and groups and, you know, on my radio show Everyday Joy and all these things. And I still do teach it, but I come to understand that it is such an individual thing that it's a wide paintbrush. It is a very wide stroke. And it is up to you what you do with it. Which is why if you're in a situation where you really want to make change in your life, you need to get specific support about that, about what you're doing. You need to be able to apply it specifically to you. Some people are great at this and some aren't. Okay? So here's the biggest thing that I kind of want to be sure that I discuss on this show, because I was like, I know there's a wide topic here, but here's one of the biggest things that I really want to encourage you to do when embracing your essence, and that is understand that your perspective is within your filter, the filter of your ego. Your perspective of the world is so clouded with judgment and conclusions that it can be really hard to have another perspective. It can feel like a struggle to make a different choice. So here's my invitation to you. What perspective is blocking you the most? And how do you know it's the perspective that's a block for you? It's the one you feel most right about. So when I say, what if you were to change everything in your life? Most people say, well, I'd be willing to change my eating habits. I'd be willing to change my sleep patterns. I'd be willing to change my posture. I'd be willing to change, my TV watching habits. I'd be willing to change my brand of makeup. I'd be willing to change. And then they start getting into the uncomfortable stuff and they say, but I'm not going to change that. And I'm not going to change that. I'd never change that. Okay? And here's what I have to say. You don't have to change it. But are you willing to not apply that works for you to others? Are you willing to change just simply that you embrace, that you choose that for your life, that it supports your essence, it supports your life purpose, it supports your expression of your divinity in this life, but you are not going to assume or project that thing on other people? Because what that does is it opens you up to curiosity, new experiences with people and places around you, that if you are rigid and have that in place and blocking you, that you're not able to experience. And just like you wouldn't want to have assumptions projected onto you and conclusions placed on you, you're giving this to other people. So one of the best things you can do is consider that everything in life is not what it appears to be. And everything in life is what it appears to be. When you are willing to be right and wrong at the same time, when you are willing to be curious, when you are willing to let go of conclusions, when you are willing to just receive what is in the moment, what happens is you kind of confuse your ego for one, so So you let it just kind of sit to the side and go, hey, I'm going to consider that everything that I think about the world might be wrong, and I'm okay with that. So this is not a scary thing I'm doing. I'm just going to be curious for a while. Your ego will consider, depends on how much of a grip it has on you, it'll consider sitting back so that you can go out and explore. Okay? So if you're working on a project and you're stuck, I know I'm right about this. I know I'm right about this. I know I'm right about this. Instead, say, what am I not aware about this? What am I not aware of? What about the situation? Do I not know? And ask. Because when we get stuck in I am right, everything that we may not be right about cannot reach us to give us a message. When we get stuck in that place of I know I'm right, then every other possibility becomes unavailable to you. And that is the ego's perspective of the world. So my invitation to you is just consider, how determined are you to be right? How many assumptions and conclusions do you jump to? And are you willing to start seeing them so that you can consider if you'd be willing to have a different perspective on that? There are so many possibilities for a different perspective. And there's a lot of things that we don't even realize that our ego's taking control over. You know, I've been in situations where, you know, driving down the highway, somebody's swerving through traffic and it's creating a dangerous environment for people. And I've been in that situation where it's like, whoa, that person is probably intoxicated. They are driving really unsafe. Oh, it looks like this person is in a hurry. Oh, you know, I could jump to all kinds of conclusions about what a jerk, and, oh, you're more important. You got to get there first. And I've also witnessed experiences where that person in that car is in a horrible life and death situation, and they do not think that they are better than. They are just terrified, or maybe they are in a hurry, and, you know, maybe it is a life and death situation. It may be dangerous, but when we go to conclusions about the person driving and who they are and what their worth is, that's when we leave essence behind. And so if you go to that conclusion place, you go to the death of stories and lies situation, okay? Somebody drives past you fast, triggers fear in you, you can feel scared. But when you go to a conclusion of, what a jerk, how dangerous, that person must be drunk, you're missing all the other possibilities that you have no idea what's going on. They might be racing to the hospital to say goodbye to a loved one who's about to pass on. They might be drunk. They might be reckless because they don't value their life at all. But none of that is your business. You see, all that was your business is, I feel really scared. And what about this do I need to take action on that has to do with me? And what's the most honorable thing to do? Sometimes it is pick up the phone, call 911. Sometimes it is that, but sometimes get yourself into safety and allow for, you know, sometimes somebody is being followed by the police. And you pull over, you allow the safest passage so that the police can take care of the situation. But it's the conclusions we come to, the struggle of the ego needing to be right, that keeps us in such a trap of being locked in our perspective being correct. And I will, this is, honestly, I think this is one of the most, I'm checking in as I make this. This is high on the list, I'll say, of when I witness, you know, essence, and when I witness people in society, and I see their, just that commitment to being right, and their conclusions, and their projection, and their ego, this is one of the saddest things to see, because when somebody is so committed to being right, that they will judge anyone else, that they will put people down, that they will be in comparison, that they will criticize, that they will, you know, be hurtful in their actions. It is one of the hardest things for me personally to witness, because what I witness is not just somebody who's being mean and hurtful and spiteful and arrogant and all that. I don't just see that. But what I also see is I see somebody who is so disconnected from their essence that they are choosing to dishonor themselves and everybody in their environment. And for me personally, that is a very sad thing to witness. And so my invitation to you is check in. What is it? What is it you're struggling with? Are you struggling with your desire to be right and your fear of being wrong? Are you struggling with disconnect from emotional expression and the judgments you have about that and the conclusions you've made? Are you struggling with the habit of going to stories and lies and conclusions? Where's the struggle at? Because when you're willing to look at what's my actual struggle here, that's where you can do some work. That's where you can practice trust. That's where you can practice speaking up and saying, wow, the story I'm making up about the situation is, and then share the story as acknowledging it as a story you're making up, as a way to bridge the conversation to say, whew, I feel really scared in this situation, and the story I'm making up is that, you know, you don't love me anymore, or you're going to leave me, or I'm going to lose my job, or whatever it is, so that it can be addressed through conversation, through directness, instead of going into that managing, manipulating, trying to hide the fear, trying to cover up the stories, or reacting to the stories, and you don't have any fact behind it or anything based on that, okay? So just be aware that that's all part of what plays out when we don't get into that relationship of trust with our essence. There is more available to you when you're in your essence, because ego narrows our point of view and shuts down our perspective so that we are not open to receive additional possibilities of what we can do and what we can choose when making changes in our lives. Okay, so here's a message. Thank you for the message. This feels like a lot of work. Why would I want to bother changing? Okay, here's what I want to say about that. You don't have to change a thing. You don't. If you are happy and content in your life, stay exactly the way you are. Don't change what's working. Really? That's my answer. But if you know something's not working in your life, that's when you might want to consider making some changes. What isn't working? Where is that discomfort that keeps nagging at you, telling you, I need to make changes in this area? I know it. It's bubbling up. It's getting uncomfortable. It's getting really obvious. What is that area? And address it. And don't just address it. You can address it the Band-Aid method. You can do a quick fix. You can. But if it's a deeper wound and all you do is put a Band-Aid over it, then that, whatever it is that's in there that can fester and grow and turn into toxins, is still there. And just like the beach ball trying to be held underwater, it'll find a way to come out sideways somewhere else where it's unexpected. And that is when we create messes through our choice not to deal with something and not to address it. So my invitation to you is always address it directly. Engage with it specifically and directly and in that moment. Don't put it off. Because putting it off opens you up to those accidental, you know, cannonball splashes you may not have intended to have to clean up after. Okay? Because it feels horrible. I've been that parent that, you know, screamed at my kid because I was pissed off at my husband. I've been that parent. It wasn't nice. And there was some healing to do after, and there was cleanup, and it did take time, and I did do the work the best that I could as soon as I became aware of it. But it doesn't change. I mean, gosh, that doesn't feel good. Totally honest, that does not feel good when we create a mess because we didn't deal with our stuff. So if you're struggling with the essence aspect and it feels like, gosh, something is in the way, check in with your ego. The ego usually has some key areas that it focuses on, and just really quickly going over those, and we'll talk about them more in upcoming days. But the ego wants you to believe that you are what you have, all the things you have, okay, and that's what your worth and worthiness is based on. It also wants you to believe that you are what you do, very much ambition-driven in that aspect, okay? It also wants you to believe that you are what others think of you, so the ego wants you to really be worried about your reputation and what everybody at church and at school and at, you know, PTA and at work, at the office, and all of them are going to think your reputation. The ego also wants you to believe that you are separate from people, that you are not connected, that this is a competition, that this is a place of comparison, that this is a place of judgment. The ego wants you to believe that. Ego also wants you to believe that you are separate from the things that you want and need. Keeps you in a place of scarcity, striving. It also keeps you in comparison with people, competition of people who do have what you think you need and want. The ego wants you to think you are separate from your source, that you have to work and strive to connect with source or God, whatever your name for source is. The divine, higher self, whatever. And the ego wants you to think that. Now, if you look at that, just that brief list, and you think about what is it you're struggling with your essence, most of the things you struggle with will fall within those categories, because the ego uses all of those things to keep you safe. Safe from having a bad reputation. Safe from being judged by others. Safe from not being enough. All those things. And the ego just wants you to be right, because being wrong got you punished. It got you grades that were, you know, judged harshly. It gets you excluded, more separation, all those things. So it's just wanting to keep you safe. Just wants you to be right. I want you to know everything. Silly ego. And so just like I taught last week with the essence, one of the things that you can say that keeps your ego from going into freaking out and thinking it's going to lose its job and it has to fight for its own survival is, there, ego. I see you. Nice try. I'm going to take it from here. You've done real good keeping me safe. How about if you have another job? How about if you become the messenger that lets me know when it is I've left my essence? How about if, instead of keeping me safe from life, how about if you help me engage with life and become aware of when I've disconnected from source? Not by making it a good thing, but by making it a nudge that I may want to reconnect. Just like a good border collie, a herding dog. It needs a job, so give it one. One that serves your divinity. Don't be at the effect of your ego. Give it a job. It's really, really good at working. And so that's what I would say would be for today. You know, you've got some things to consider, but I really wanted to address those messages that have come in. You have a choice about changing your life. You don't have to. You don't have to do a thing. You don't. Your life is working. Keep doing what's working. But if you're struggling, you have a choice. Are you going to make changes before it becomes a crisis? Or are you waiting for the crisis? It's up to you. You can address it when those nudges are a soft feather touch, or you can wait for the universal 2x4. It is completely up to you. Okay? It is up to you. Your essence awaits your embrace. It's patiently waiting. It doesn't go anywhere. It's always there. Just wondering when you're going to notice it, when you're going to choose to connect. And my invitation to you is to connect gently. Connect intentionally. You know, my closing line for Everyday Joy really is coming through lately, and it's something like this. Every single moment of every day, we are all making choices. Whether we make those choices from a place of essence, in this case, or we make those choices from fear or anger or separation or less than or not worthy, is up to us. What are your choices based on today? Compassion, love, kindness, self-truth, self-esteem, honor. You get to choose in every moment of every day. You get to choose. I hope you'll choose your essence. And if you don't, that's okay. You have another choice. Again, right now, and now, and now, and now. So what is it that is longing for you to connect with today? Are you willing to follow that nudge and be a service, be a contribution to life, to the world, to your community, to your environment, your family, your team? What's a contribution you can be? It's up to you. The struggle is a sign that you're holding on to what was. It's just a symptom. You can choose to let go of what was and embrace the possibilities of what could be and what is to come. It's up to you. Thank you for being here. And if you want to contact me, you can go to my website, JenHalterman.me is my website. You can also follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/JenHalterman now, and I would love to hear from you. And send me a message. Let me know what you're struggling with or what you're achieving that's wonderful so that I can share it. And we can pass it on, pay it forward. Your stories contribute to the possibilities of people having a different perspective. And so I welcome them, and I really do appreciate them. So thank you for being here. Thank you for the messages on Facebook. Thank you for those of you on the phone line. And those of you who let me know you were listening on the web, it is wonderful all the ways we can connect. And I'm so happy that we got to connect today. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's craniosacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. BodyWise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.